And Frank Red, we are going to talk about Sabbath. And at the start of the year, the majority of us are doing some sort of reflection, some sort of looking back, evaluation of like kind of how did the year go, where are things, and then it's also like this kind of this restart, this look ahead. Like maybe we have some habits that have been just ingrained in us. Like, hey, this is the year. We are going to change that. And so I wanted to speak to that because as Christians, as followers of Christ, what you want to do, and like everything for Christians, you want to start those things with God. The conversations about who we are and what we do and how we spend our time and how we use our money and all things start with who God is and what he calls us to, because he knows what is best. And so for today, we're going to talk about Sabbath. And part of it is to connect to that book discussion. So I do highly recommend, there's some copies on the back table. You can order it on Amazon. There's an intentionality about reading that as a church, because I think one of the challenges that I'll get into is the challenge of keeping the Sabbath and why it's important. So I want the discussion to be less on like, hey, what'd you like about the book, what you didn't like about the book, and more like, hey, how do we do this? How do we honor God with the Sabbath in our culture, in our time? And I'm going to start the sermon with some quotes that will help us understand, one, what the Sabbath is, and then two, why we need it in our particular time and in our particular place. Jesus said, as Karina mentioned, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It said, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. What I want us to understand is we talk about this day, this rhythm that God gave us of work and rest. He said, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and on the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord. And as we live in this rhythm of work and rest, I want us to see and understand that it's a gift from God. It's a blessing and not a burden. Why Jesus had to explain that Sabbath was made for man is because the Pharisees had made it burdensome. They were getting mad at Jesus for healing, for restoring, for bringing life, which is actually the very thing his Sabbath is all about. The Sabbath is a time to be healed, to be restored, for God to make things whole. So I want us to view Sabbath as a get to versus a have to. It's a positive versus a negative. And some get confused by this with an Old Testament command. I'm not going to get into like civil law and ceremonial law and ethical law and all that stuff. But what I want us to understand is even in the New Testament, they call it the Lord's Day. So some people don't like calling it the Sabbath. They want to call it the Lord's Day because it switched when Jesus came. But what I want to propose and what we'll see is it's just built into creation. It's built into who we are. This is timely. This was not a plan to preach on Sabbath, but what I tried to give Karina for Christmas was rest. So all the gifts were kind of incorporated around sleeping and rest. And so we have those like junky like curtains that cover like a sliding glass door that always break. And so like every third one is always broken. And then I think Home Depot does a trick where they switch out the colors all the time. So you can't just go buy three replacements. You got to buy all 24 new ones. Okay. So I got past them though. So we went different colors. So anyway, so she got some curtains, things to block out the sun, a little massage, some like things for like taking a bath because that helps you go to sleep. And then I also got her a book, which is kind of a book I just really wanted. And it's called Why We Sleep. I am fascinated with all things like sleep and health and all this stuff. So it's Dr. Walker. He's out of University of California, Berkeley. And it's kind of the seminal book on like why we actually sleep. And one of the things that was fascinating early in the book, and he's like a great science guy, great stuff. He's an evolutionist. And then the question he was trying to figure out is like, sleep is not productive. Like nothing happens like what they think. And so he's like, but it must do something because the evolutionary process hasn't gotten rid of it. Does that make sense? And so he's saying like, no. Like sleep is built into who we are. It's something productive. It's something important. It's something we need. It's built in. And he talks about there's a study and these guys like 1930 or something like that went down and lived in a cave for like 3 months or 6 months where there's no light, no darkness. And then they measured their sleep. And what they found is they kept a pattern of a sleep awake rhythm, with no darkness, with no sunlight, without anything. It's built into us to rest. And just as it's built into us to sleep, and when this book has been fascinating, it restores you, it renews you, it does all these things, it connects your thoughts. God does the same. So yes, we need to sleep during the day, or at night, I mean. We also need to rest during the week. Sabbath is built into who we are. But it's counter to everything about where we live. It's counter to our world to actually stop and not do anything. Our buddy Brandon posted a book that he read this year. One was called How to Do Nothing. And I'm like, I need that book. Like, literally, we need to train ourselves on how to do nothing. And so today I want to talk about what Sabbath is and why we need it. And as I said, here's some quotes. One or a couple will be from that book, because I want us to, again, be thinking about, like, what does this book about and how can we apply it? And it helps us understand what Sabbath is and why we need it. One theologian says that the fourth commandment, he said it encapsulates life with God. He said, Sabbath requires preparation and planning, so it casts its shadow on the other 6 days. We have a day that of worship, of rest, of community and others that cast its shadow on the other 6 days. He says, because of this, we can summarize by saying that the Sabbath commandment is concerned with how life as a whole is to be ordered under God. So all of life is ordered under God. And the Sabbath commandment helps us understand. He said, 6 days you work, the seventh day you rest. It encapsulates our life with God. It may even be that in our increasing complication of modern life, if the Lord's day is to be kept special or set apart or holy, even more and more organization of life, business, shopping, homework, whatever, becomes necessary so that this unique day dominates the pattern of our ordinary days. What Alex Motyer is saying is that with the busyness, with the dynamics and the complications of our culture, it's becoming more and more difficult to actually practice this command. We have more opportunities to do stuff, to take stuff in, to produce and consume. And he's saying you actually have to think through it more thoughtfully, more than ever, to keep this life-giving command. Because what happens is, as opposed to this day pushing into the other 6 days, the other 6 days push into this day. Does anybody else experience that? The other 6 days of the week push into the day of rest, the day of worship, the day of life with God. And you have to fight against it, as Ethel said. And that's why Walter Brueggemann, in that book, he said he's come to think that the fourth commandment is the most difficult and the most urgent of the commandments in our society. That when I was reading the intro to the book, I read the book in seminary and then again. And the thing that, like, that stopped me in my tracks, he says, come to think the fourth commandment is the most difficult and the most urgent of the commandments in our culture, in our society. He says that Sabbath is an alternative to the endless demands of our economic reality that depends. So our world, our culture, our economy depends on the generation of needs and desires that will leave us endlessly restless, inadequate, unfulfilled, and in pursuit of that which will not satiate or squelch our desires. We live in a culture of continual production, but I think even more so a continual consumption. There's always something else. There's always something more to do, to consume, to take in. They're writing in Exodus 20 to people who had been delivered from Egypt, had been delivered from Pharaoh. And these people had to produce and produce and produce. It's like more bricks and more bricks and more bricks. And they were producing all those things for other people to consume. I think a lot of our culture is on the consumption side of things. Sure, we produce. Sure, we work hard. But even if you look at kids, what's the draw? What's a challenge for kids? That they just don't consume and consume and consume. We need to teach to produce. And so it's just a challenge that we found. And last one from Philip Reitken, he said, out of his great mercy, because it's like, okay, if this is where we live and this is where we're at, God still calls us to obey him, to respond to him. And so he gives us this day of Sabbath. He says, out of his great mercy, God has provided a remedy, one whole day out of seven to rest in his grace. He has given us a rhythm of work and rest with 6 days for labor and one day for leisure. And he grants us our leisure specifically for the purpose of his praise. He says the Sabbath is a day for worship, a day for mercy, and a day for rest. So those are the three things that we're going to talk about of what Sabbath, what do we do? How do you practice a Sabbath? It's a day that's set apart for worship. It's about you and God. It's a day that's set apart for rest. It's a day for you. And it's a day that's set apart for mercy. It's for the good of others. And it was interesting to me, even as I thought through like different streams, or like I try and read a wide stream of authors and thought leaders in different areas. Depending on your like theological streams or backgrounds, each kind of stream emphasizes a different thing. If you come from more of like a Reformed Presbyterian world, worship is the dominant thing on Sabbath. It's about worshiping God and it's set apart for him. If you come from more of like a contemplative, more like heart-driven stream, it's a lot of focus on self. Like, what do you need to do to replenish yourself and to be by yourself and to contemplate by yourself? And if you're more from like kind of an activism stream, it's about mercy. How do you do good on the Sabbath? But the reality is that we need all of these things. To practice Sabbath, to set apart a day, to have a day that is set apart for the Lord, it needs to be a day that it involves worship, a day that involves rest for us personally, and a day that brings rest to others. And the first thing we see is Sabbath is set apart as a day for God. It's a day for worship. If you look at verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'm going to come back to that idea of remember. Verse 10 said, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Verse 11 says that, it said, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. He says, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. He says to keep the day holy. To have something holy means to set apart. He says to sanctify it for sacred use. It at its core, it's telling us to give the day over to God through worship and through rest. It's a day that's set apart for God. And a primary thing that we do is what we're doing right now. It's a day to worship through gathering. And I feel like, in a good way, there has been an uptick on emphasis on like spiritual formation and spiritual practices and prayer. But again, a lot of those things have to do with self. Maybe you're familiar with John Mark Comer. He's a pastor out of Portland. He's got great stuff on spiritual practices and Sabbath and rest and prayer. It's all really, really good. But a lot of these streams, they make it individual. That's one of Comer's actually concerns about his writing, that people make this an individualistic thing. But Sabbath is a day that's set apart for God. It's set apart for worshiping. So I think I could get to part two where I talk about things for yourself, and everybody in our culture would be like, yes and amen. Like, we need to be about those things. But primarily in Sabbath is a day to gather and to worship. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done. It says, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. He called it a holy convocation. So, convocation is a word that Brian had to look up. There's always one a week or more. And it literally means to come together. It means to assemble for a sacred, special purpose. God calls us to stop everything and come together and worship him. It says, you shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. So there is something about worshiping through gathering, through being with God's people that we need, that we're made for. That's why we do this. That's why Buddy Joey came up and he started helping set up today. And when somebody does it for the first time, I was like, hey, like, I know this is a lot of work. And there's sometimes I'm like, why are we doing this? Right? And this is why we're doing this. We're doing this so we can worship God, so we can hear about God, so we can praise God, so we can be reminded of who God is and the rest that he brings us through his son, Jesus. We're called to gather together. And he says, when they gather together, he told them, I said, I'll come back to you. He says, remember the Sabbath. And there's one sense, not just like remember to do it, right? Remember to clean your room. Remember to eat your vegetables. Remember to do these things, right? There's a call to remember. But it's a day of remembering is what he is driving back. It's remember who God is. Remember what God has done for you. It's a day to remember the Sabbath. The people of God were living in the wilderness. It was during the Exodus time. And it said that God provided manna for them for 6 days. But on the seventh day, they always had enough. That there was to be no gathering of the manna on the seventh day. And what did God do? He provided for them. You can stop your gathering. You can stop your work. You can have this one day to worship me. That's why I delivered you out of Egypt. Remember how I provided for you out of the other 6 days, and you can take one day of rest. Remember what I did for you. And the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus and then in the book of Deuteronomy, there's a call to remember two things. It ties it to do different things. One, there's a call to remember that God is the creator. Remember who God is. Verse 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. And it says, on the seventh day that he rested. It's a day to remember God. That there is a God who created all things, who gave you all things, who sustains all things, and who promises to make all things new. It's a day to remember that there is a creator and you're the creature. You were created. And we remember God's goodness through his creation. We can stop and remember, hey, it's not on me. I don't hold the world together. I can take my hands off the wheel for one day. God has this. It's recognizing and worshiping God as creator. And it's also that reminder that we are a creation. It's, again, it's built into us. It's how we are created. We need a day to stop, to rest. I'll get to that in part two. But it's also a day to remember our redemption, that God delivers us, that God rescues us. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it ties the Sabbath day and it says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God brought you out. Remember that you were enslaved under Pharaoh and God rescued you. God delivered you. You're free. You're no longer a slave. And so when Jesus says that he's Lord of the Sabbath, it's like, hey, remember, you're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to Satan. You're no longer a slave to the world. I've rescued you. I delivered you. It has no power over you. Remember, you're no longer a slave. You're a son. You're a daughter of the King. And it's a good king who will provide for you and who wants what's best for you. And what's best for you? What's best for me? To rest. To be refreshed. To be renewed. So Sabbath is a reminder that there is a creator who is worthy to be worshipped. And it's a reminder and declaration that we've been delivered from slavery. Brueggemann says that there had been a regime change. From, he calls it throughout this book, he calls the world the anxiety system of life. The world that we live in, he calls it the anxiety system. Everything is driven to cause us to have anxiety. The amount that we consume, the amount that we feel like we need to produce, it's just a perpetual cycle that causes us to be anxious and worried. So he calls it, there's been a regime change. You no longer live under the anxiety system. You live under the life-giving system of your Creator, who loves you and provides for you. You've moved on from the production and anxiety system to a system of dignity, of security, of peace that's found in Christ. Remember that. So every week we come together and we remember. I'm no longer a slave, I'm a son. I'm no longer a slave, I'm a daughter. I no longer have to work from acceptance, I am accepted. Reichen went on, he said, remember the Sabbath. He said, we are prone to forget the great work of God in creation and redemption. And when we forget, we fail to praise him for making us and for saving us. But the fourth commandment is a reminder. It is God's memorandum to his people, reminding us to give him glory for his grace. Reichen used this illustration from another pastor. I was like, hey, is that too crass, too harsh? I was like, yeah, we'll try it, see if it, there. So this is something I was like, oh, should I say that or not? I'm going to say it. So he says, he gives this picture, and there's a beggar, there's a blind man that's there, and then there's another man that sees him. The man has $6 in his hand, one hand, and he has a dollar in his other hand. And the man gives the beggar the $6. And he's like, thank you. But then the beggar punches him in the face and steals the other dollar. He's like, I want that too. It's crass, maybe a little much, but that's what happens with the Sabbath. God's going, hey, I'm going to give you all these days to work, to do what you need to do. And there's just one day to be reminded of who I am, to rest in me, to worship me, to be restored by me. And quite oftentimes we just want to like punch them in the face and just take that one too. Right? And it's for our good. That's why I don't like the illustration. It's for our good. It's for our joy. But there is a day that is set apart. And the scriptures call us to gather, to weekly to celebrate and be reminded of God's glory, of God's grace, of God's goodness. That's what we sing about. That's what we teach about. It's what we read about. It's what we experience through communion and through community. We're reminded of who God is. Hebrews says, don't forsake meeting together as is the habit of some. Why? Because we need it. We need it as a day that's set apart to worship God. And this is why I want to have a discussion on this, because there's sometimes like, does that mean like, hey, what happens when you miss church? You miss church. It's fine, right? Chandler, he's a firefighter. You know what he does? He comes here one Sunday and he is part of the service. One Sunday he serves in kids, and one Sunday he's at the firehouse. There are days that he doesn't gather together. Why? Because he's out serving the benefit of other people. He's like saving people from death. Right? So it's not always the same day, and there's freedom in that, but we need to figure out, hey, what does it look like for us to stop and worship and celebrate God? It's something that we need. And sometimes we get sick, and sometimes we're traveling, and sometimes there, but oftentimes people are like, hey, I just needed a day of rest. I was like, hey, you're going to the wrong place if you don't come, because you need a day of rest. Because rest is only truly found in God. That's where we find our rest. Second part, Sabbath is a day that's set apart for yourself. This is God's generosity, a day of literal rest, of stopping. This is what Matyar called rest is essential for our humanity. Verse 9 says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to your Lord. On it you shall not do any work. It literally means you shall not do any work. The word Sabbath, literally, it means to stop. It means to cease. It means to rest. There's this, if you flip over to Exodus 23, and it kind of revisits, kind of keeps coming back to Sabbath. But in verse 12, it talks about what the Sabbath looks like. It says, 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Sounds familiar? That your ox and your donkey may have rest, and your son and your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. So it says rest, and refreshed. Those are three different words for rest. But what it does in chapter 23 is it emphasizes the importance of Sabbath for healthy living. And it uses three different verbs for the same word, for this word rest. One is Shabbat, the first word it says. It literally means to cessation from the occupation from the previous 6 days. You cease from doing something. You cease from exertion. You literally just stop. So whatever you do the other 6 days of the week, we don't do it on that day. Right? So this can be a challenge for me. One of the things that I have a hard time with is just like stuff kind of sitting around, or if like there's like too much, we all have our different chores. But like if laundry just like starts piling up, I'll just start like doing it. Like I'm like, no, like just this is a day. Like I don't need to watch football and do laundry. I can just watch football, right? I can just not do it. It's a day to desist from working. So whatever you do, don't do that. The next word, it's nuach. And it literally means to sit. What'd you do today? I sat. Right? What's it driving at? Just, it's putting your feet up. It's a day to rest. And the same word, it was interesting, the same word is used, the people of God were in the promised land, or in the wilderness, and they went into the promised land, and in the promised land they experienced the presence of God, and it said that they experienced nuach. They experienced rest. They could breathe again. It's a day to literally put your feet up, to rest. And then the last word is this, napath. It means an opportunity for refreshment and renewal. It too means breathe, but it also means to be breathed into. So there is something about Sabbath where God breathes life into us. You think about Adam and Eve in the garden. What does it say to Adam? He says he created man and then he breathed life into him. I didn't go fully down the rabbit trail, but those two things go together. In the day of Sabbath, God breathes life into us. He refreshes us. He renews us. We need to take the time. Again, it's all grounded in creation. And so we need to ask, why should we stop? Why should we take a breath? Why should we put our feet up? It's because that's how we're made. It's how we actually image God and his rhythm of work and rest. Meyer said, our calling is to live out his pattern, to make his example the way we order our lives, to reflect what we are being created in, to reflect that we are beings created in the image of God. As followers of Christ, as Christians, as humans, we're called to image God. And one way we image God is to work and produce and to cultivate and bring wholeness. And one way we do is to stop. So on the seventh day, God rested. God enjoyed his work. God experienced his work. And we're called to do the same. Lastly, this gets talked about the least. The Sabbath is a day that is set apart for others. Reichen says it's a day for mercy. This is what Jesus got in trouble with by the Pharisees on in Mark chapter 2. He had healed a man whose hand was lame. And he healed and he asked him, should I restore his hand on the Sabbath day? And they ridiculed him. And he's like, you guys are missing the whole point. And he went ahead and he healed them. It's a day to restore and bring restoration to others. Verse 10 says, it's a day that you should rest and not do any work, or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner, the foreigner who is within your gates. It's a day to bring rest to others. I was convicted when it said your son and your daughter, because I can have a hard time when our kids like don't do anything. I'm like, just do something, right? They're actually like better at this than I am. There's something wrong with me. The next six commandments are all about how to love your neighbor. Brueggemann says that God's life-giving system of rest includes the neighbor, and it says, and dares to imagine the maintainability of a neighborly community. It dares to imagine the maintenance of a neighborly community. So as we think about our life and what we do the other 6 days, we think about how we bring rest to others. Brueggemann said, rest as did the Creator God, and while you rest, be sure that your neighbor rests alongside you. He said, indeed, sponsor a system of rest. that contradicts the system of anxiety of Pharaoh. There was no resting in Egypt. There was no resting for anybody. It was competitive. He says, sponsor a system of rest. Bring rest to your neighbors. One of our favorite things, we never wanted to ask for it, but it's glorious. And Chrissy is here today. On Christmas Eve, we do the service. We have it. It's great. Clean it up. And then we come back. And then Christmas Eve was like a big deal for both of our families. So Karina wants to, and I do too sometimes, wants to do stuff that's on Christmas Eve to have people over and do all that. But cooking gets difficult because we get up here at like 3 and then you do the stuff and you tear it down and then people come over. So what Chrissy has done for the past few years is made this. It's not just like any meal. It's a beautiful, this beef Wellington. It is unbelievable. It's like, hey, what time are you guys going to be home? I am going to bring it to you. Right? What does it do? It brings us rest. It costs her money. It costs her time. She's got her own family to feed and relatives to feed. It's a gift. She's using it to serve us. Kids back in Cross Point Kids right now, you know what they're doing? They're bringing rest to us parents. Correct? Right? There's nothing better. You love your kids, we know. We know. But when they get to hang out with other people and be invested in them, and you get to sit, maybe you just, and if you're a mom with a young kid and you fall asleep, I am not offended at all. You get to put your feet up. Right? It's a gift. But somebody's back there serving. Somebody's back there doing it. It's a gift. And it brings what? Rest of somebody else. Joey laid all these carpets down. Why? So we could sit. It's serving. It's a gift. Baby gets the coffee. That's why when we serve on Sundays here, we're bringing rest to others. We're providing an opportunity for others to worship and hear God. It's a day that's set apart to bring mercy, to bring restoration, to bring wholeness to others. And like everything else, Sabbath is just merely a pointer to Jesus. At Cross Point, our mission is to point our community to Jesus. And Sabbath, my Spirit of the Reformation Study Bible called it, it's just a type of the rest that Christ brings. When it says it's a type, it means it's a pointer to the rest that Christ brings. Sabbath is a reminder every week that through Christ, we can have ultimate rest, that he's accomplished it for us. Jesus says, come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, all of you who live in the system of anxiety. And he says, I will give you rest. I will freely give it to you. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus came to bring rest. Jesus redeems us that we might be with God. If Sabbath is a day to worship God, it's through Jesus that we worship God, that we're with God. To be redeemed means to buy back, to be delivered, to be free of slavery. And that's what Jesus accomplished on the cross. It's sin that separates us from God. It's sin that causes anxiety. It's sin that causes worry. And Jesus says, I came to rescue you from that. I died for that. I resurrected and I'm reigning so you can rest. Jesus redeemed us so that we might be with God. So the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, becomes a day to remember that we are no longer slaves, that we're sons, that we're daughters, that God will provide for us. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Why? Because I'm your Father in heaven who loves you. It's ultimately that Jesus who restores our soul. It's how we experience rest. It's through his presence. When Jesus was baptized, it says that he went up out of the water and says that the Holy Spirit descended on him. The Holy Spirit landed on him. The Holy Spirit rested on him. And through the gospel, God puts his Spirit within us. He puts his rest upon us, that in him we can rest and have our souls be restored. And finally, when we live according to the ways of Jesus, when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, it compels us to the way of Jesus and helps us to love one another and reconciles us back to other people. Jesus redeems us that we might have rest. He restores us so we have rest, and he compels us to reconcile so we have rest and flourishing in our relationships. And there's tons of resources, and we'll share some for you. But my encouragement to you is to be reminded of who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He's Lord. He's worthy of worship. It says that Jesus is our Savior. He has rescued us. He has redeemed us. He has restored us. Remember that. And let that shape all of our days. And so I highly encourage you to grab that book. Come on, is it the 22nd? It'll be a sign at the end. Talk about it. What does that look like for you? We'll share some resources. We'll send out a text this afternoon or tomorrow with some links that you can just go through your life. Hey, how can I do this? What would this look like for me? I've had a great conversation with Chandler. I was like, hey, tell me how you do a Sabbath as a firefighter. Dude's thought about it. You got all sorts of stuff. Go talk to him about it. It's great. The command is left very vague. There's some things that we're called to do, but how we do it, we're all different. It looks one way when you have little kids. Looks another way when you have grown kids. Looks one way when you're a student. It looks another way when you are out of your normal vocation. Figure it out. Get with other people and talk to them. Who's a community that can help you do that? Sabbath is a gift from God that refreshes us, that restores us, that renews us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a generous God, that you care about us, that you love us. God, we acknowledge that you are the creator. And if you're the creator, you know how we're made and what we need. God, we confess that we don't often live according to how we're made. That in our system of anxiety, it's hard to stop consuming and it's hard to stop producing. Thank you that we're not your sons and daughters because of how well we rest, but we're sons and daughters because of what Jesus did for us. But God, I pray that it would compel us to trust you, to obey you, to live according to the ways that you have designed us. God, I pray that as a community, we would come together and we say, like, hey, how can we do this? How can we be a community that is set apart, that's different, that's distinct, that isn't always consuming and producing, that lives in a rhythm according to how we're created? God, that is a compelling community, a community that will cause others to stop, say, like, hey, I may not believe everything they believe, but I want that. I want rest. God, you said your church is a city on a hill, a light. One way that we can be a city on a hill is to have a day that's set apart. God, lead us, guide us, help us to know how we do that. We thank you, you're a good God who loves us and gives us good gifts. Like a Sabbath, a day to worship, a day to rest, to enjoy, to delight in you, to bring wholeness to others. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Every week at communion, we participate in communion. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember who I am. I'm the Lord. I'm worthy to worship, to sing praise to trust. remember what I've done for you. I have delivered you. I came and I lived. I was born, which we celebrate on Christmas, but I was born to go to a cross. And it's on the cross that Jesus, he said his body was given for you, his blood was shed for you to restore us back to God, to make us alive. And communion is a declaration, is that that's what my hope is in, that's what my trust is in. In our passage, Jesus says, come to me and you will find rest for your souls. Communion is a time that we come to Jesus. We're reminded of who he is. We're declaring who he is. We're celebrating who he is. So as you feel led, come, we take the bread and we dip it into the cup. We continue to sing worship songs. We give of tithes and offerings that acknowledges Jesus as Lord, that he is ultimate. And we celebrate who God is and all he has done.